Welcome, everyone, to episode 24 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is July 19th, 2026, and I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we wanted to continue showcasing spots around Japan that both Kirk and I have been to via our infamous Japan Tour Series. Whether that was together or separately, we like to chat about places we've both been to reflect fondly back on those times, share those places with you that we enjoyed, food that we loved, and activities that we engaged in. And today's place is very special because it's my quote-unquote hometown place.
Don't listen to him, listeners. I know that's counterproductive, but I don't know. For some reason, he has claimed Hiroshima as his hometown. I wonder why he didn't claim Hokkaido. Is it because it's cold and okay. Let me not trouble Hokkaido. But hello, listeners. And my awesome co-host, Aaron.
Woohoo!
This is The Bon Bon Show. Last time we talked about my beloved Shimane in this Japan Tour series. And I can't believe that it was a little over a year ago. We really are keeping up with this podcast thing, aren't we, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. We are. I can't believe it's been a year since we did our last one of these. We got so many of these to do, I feel like. We need to do a better job at scheduling them in when we can.
Yeah, at least the Bon Bon Show is still going strong, you know, 24 episodes, more than a year. That's good.
Yep,
so,
that's progress.
Yeah, so today it's all about Hiroshima. It's where I went to grad school. I met up with Aaron and his family there, which was awesome. To me, it's one of the easiest cities, as in Hiroshima City and the prefecture in general, to navigate as someone who's traveled all over Japan. So yeah, let's continue the Japan tour series with drum roll. Hiroshima, yay!
Hiroshima!
Okay, actually, Aaron, so what's one of the first interesting places that you've been to in Hiroshima Prefecture?
Yeah, I guess I'll start just by saying my listing of and familiarity with Hiroshima specifically is more with the city and kind of like the surrounding area, where Kirk has a bit more experience with being more within the prefecture itself. So most of my highlights, I guess, during the podcast today will be more, as I had mentioned, kind of in and out of the city itself. Definitely will like to take more time at some point in my life to visit more of the prefecture in general, but the city is a really good place to start, I think. And I think when people think of going to Hiroshima, I think whether we like it or not, we go back to a very historic past event that took place, and that will lead you to the Peace Memorial Park. And I think for a lot of people, this is the reason why they have Hiroshima on their itineraries, is to go to the Peace Memorial Park, which is a really important place to go out of all places in the world, just because of the significance and the devastation that was laid upon the land and the people and nature, and just what that time did to people and families and just the world in general, what led up to that moment, and everything. So yeah, I think it's a really critical place for all travelers and just as many people as possible to go there to really feel. There's just like a bit of heaviness when you go there and you just see the memorial, and there's the children's memorial, and then there's the whole park itself and the Peace Memorial. It's not a place where you like, it's a great learning opportunity, and it's sad, and it's just the whole emotion is just sad. a heavy time, but it's a really important time, and it's a really good experience to have, and to just take a moment of silence or lots of moments of silence while you're there to just kind of reflect on the past and how people maybe would have been impacted and how people would have felt. We would never know, like, unless you've been through something that, like, the nuclear bombings yourself, right? Like, you just don't know. But to see the stories and watch the videos and get all those insights really starts to put into perspective, just life in general and how precious things can be. And just, yeah, just life is crazy. And so I think that's a really good place to start. And so you go to Peace Memorial Park, and you learn, and you reflect, and you gather your thoughts, and you try to put a perspective on where you are in the world, and where the past has led to the present, and where the present leads to the future. And so, yeah, that was definitely the first place that I went to, probably the first place that lots of people go to when they visit Hiroshima. And as we'll get to the city itself, there's a lot to see and explore in Hiroshima, the city itself, which we will encourage you to see.
Get into.
But yeah, just a really emotional experience, and I think don't rush it when you go there. Take your time, be respectful. Be respectful of everybody else that's there. You don't know their story, where they've might have had, family or friends over time that have been impacted there. The land is very precious. The city itself, when you go to Hiroshima and you see just how much it, I mean, you wouldn't know that it's really been impacted by such a devastating history, because it's fully restored, and it's energetic, and it's active, and there's people here and there, and it feels very just much like in any other Japanese city. But then you go to the park, and it really starts to dawn on you just what took place. And so, yeah, don't rush that experience. Just take it all in, and yeah, just reflect. I think it's a really good time to just reflect about life in general and how precious everything can be. And yeah, just respect that place and the people that come and go. And yeah, what do you have to say about the Peace Memorial
Yeah, I
Park,
agree.
Kirk?
Yeah, the Peace Memorial Park in Hiroshima is definitely a must-see for travelers going to Hiroshima. I think it's probably the most visited spot, unsurprisingly. The Peace Memorial Park itself has like the Peace Memorial Museum, which I think you were referring to, where it's like it has artifacts and information about that dreaded day when the atomic bomb was dropped on the city. It also has like the atomic bomb dome, which is one of the only buildings that was left standing after the bomb fell. So it's like, to me, I feel like a half a day, even more, if you have like a small child, would be good enough to take in the full experience. The park itself, the atomic dome, taking pictures, the museum, there's food nearby. There's a lot of things to do, and it is so accessible. Again, I will continue to say throughout this episode that I don't know, Hiroshima City has is so such an accessible city. It's got trains, it's got trams, it's got buses, it's got taxis, it's got cycling routes. It's just so like multi-layered. So even though it's not the biggest city, I don't think it's even in the top five, maybe not even the top 10 in Japan, but it's so well laid out. I guess, unfortunately, one of the positives of being destroyed by the atomic bomb was that they were able to rebuild the city. So unlike Osaka or parts of Tokyo and other kind of historic cities where that's been a city for hundreds, if not thousands of years, Hiroshima has a more modern grid layout that you won't find in such a large city in Japan, unless it's like a very new city. But yeah, the Peace Memorial Museum was one of the only museums I've ever cried my eyes out at. The other one being, I think, the Native American Museum in New York. But it's important to understand what happened leading up to that day on the day itself and what happened after. I've been fortunate enough while living in Hiroshima to meet many atomic bomb survivors. Many people are still alive that were children on the day that that bomb fell. Many people have family members. Many people are descendants of people who've been affected by these, by the bomb. So it's a core part of Hiroshima's identity, unfortunately, at this time. So yeah, the museum, the dome, and the park itself, an awesome half day to one day experience, highly recommended.
Yeah, and there's a lot to do around the park because it's kind of in the middle of the two, I guess you want to say like river. I guess the river kind of splits and then it goes on either side of the park. I guess the dome
and it's
being
in the city center.
I guess more of the city side. But yeah, there's a lot to do around the park. So you might find yourself going to the park to start your day, I guess depending. And then you'll just navigate organically to other parts of the city that are close by because there's lots of shopping, there's lots of places to go
food.
And eat or rest, or if you just want to continue down along the river and just kind of have a nice walk to yourself or who you're with.
There's some underground shopping areas as well that if it's too hot or too cold and you want to escape the elements, there's like underground streets that you can travel along that main street in Hiroshima. If it's nice weather and nice temperature, as you said, you can walk along the rivers. The park itself is amazing and well forested. So that also provides some protection from the elements. But yeah, the main.
Yeah, you mentioned the underground shopping area. How did you find out about the underground shopping street?
Ladies and gentlemen, you see what I have to put up to? But let me say it to make him happy. I did not know about the underground shopping until a certain individual visited me in Hiroshima and was like, hey, let's go underground. I was like, what? There's an underground? So to be fair, I don't think I've walked much on the surface since then. Because they've got like convenience stores, restaurants, live performance areas, like different little booths and stalls and stuff, and it's the temperature is just so much better walking there instead of being exposed to the noise, not just the elements but the, you know, just the cityness of the city. When you're under there, it feels a little bit more calm and your senses are not as overwhelmed. Well, I have that issue where, like, now I live in Tokyo, I struggle sometimes because it's just car horns and trains and talking and so many people, and it's just overwhelming. But yeah, underground Hiroshima on that main street, amazing.
Yeah,
thank you,
that's
Aaron,
that's
for
awesome.
Letting me know about it.
Yeah, no, welcome to my city. I got to tell you all the secrets, right? I wouldn't want to hide anything from you.
Oh, no, look at the time. What's the next place that we want to talk about, Aaron?
The next little gem of a place that I know of, and because I'm a big ramen fan, I had to add a ramen place to the Hiroshima list in terms of things to do in the city. So while I was there, we were staying in the, I guess, Tokachimachi area. So on the other side of the Peace Memorial Park, if you cross that main bridge, that's where Tokachimachi is.
Oh, Tokaichimachi.
Oh, yeah. Tokaimachi. Mm. Oh, Tokaichimachi. Sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
So I was looking for... We were staying in that area, and I was just randomly looking for ramen restaurants, and I came across one that's called Men Yohaku, and it looked good to me based on what I could tell. It seemed like it was busy. You needed to show up early. There's a line. That generally means it's good if people are willing to wait a bit of time. So I did a little bit of research, and this was when, Mindy and Kai, so my wife and son were with me. And they had a sign actually. It said when I was looking them up, they didn't want anyone that was like younger than, I don't know, like 10 years or younger, maybe, that to show up at the restaurant. They wanted like people that were a bit older because they just didn't want to deal with children shenanigans, I guess. So I ended up going by myself. So just note, if you do go to this ramen restaurant, which I do recommend,
they don't like children.
Yeah, they don't like small kids. So I wasn't able to bring my 1-year-old son, unfortunately. Not that I was planning on anyways, because the ramen shop was one of those just long, kind of narrow shops. Fits like,
yeah, maybe, yeah, ramen shops are a bit cramped, so they don't, probably they don't have space for like baby tall chairs, yeah, and
yeah, no baby chairs, servings, no tables
and stuff. So yeah, like, you know, ramen shops are just, yeah, they serve the same thing 500 times. They don't need to make any adjustments of size or ingredients, you know what I mean? So I get it. Yeah, exactly. I get it. I'm just joking about the not liking children part, I think.
Well, they probably still don't like kids, but the ramen was really good. It was more of the niboshi style, so more like a chicken, clear chicken base with a fish undertone, and I believe it had clam kind of infused in it as well. It had, I think for chashu, it had some regular chashu, it had some duck chashu as well. Overall, like really, really good. I got in, I think it was the second seating for the morning. So I had to wait just a little bit, but it was well worth the wait. So if you are a ramen head, you love a good bowl of noodles, I would totally recommend going to Menyohaku. If you're in Hiroshima, it's worth the, there's like a tram, like as Kirk was mentioning, the tram system in Hiroshima is really good. So you can easily just jump on the tram and there's a stop pretty close by to where it's kind of more in like a neighborhood. It's a little inconspicuous. So you'd have to look it up on Google Maps and you kind of, it's kind of like in a mini alley sort of way. Like you would be able to walk by it really easily without noticing it. So it's something you kind of had to find or get directions to.
Send me the link later and I'll put it in the show notes. So if you guys are watching on YouTube or listening elsewhere, you guys can see the link in the show notes to check out this awesome ramen place.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And it was all like nothing, if you're more of like a tonkotsu sort of fan or looking for something heavier or creamier, I don't believe they had anything like that. It was more of the lighter, clear, like chicken base fish. I'm pretty sure they had the clam in there. So yeah, really, really good. Recommend it. Would love to go back.
Let's
go. I just had the one bowl, but I'll definitely be going back again when I visit Hiroshima. Let's go back. Next.
It's your city anyway, so you should be taking me to eat ramen.
Of course. Yeah, let's go together next time.
Let's do it. All right, the next place for me is Shukeien Garden. I can never pronounce this word properly. But basically, it's a really, historic garden dating back to like the 1700s or 1600s, I forget, but like 1620 something, if my memory serves me right. It's like a 15-minute walk from Hiroshima Station itself. So it's like really in the city. It's close to the art museum, the Hiroshima Prefectural Art Museum as well. So you can, again, do multiple stops going to different places within Hiroshima. But I went there when I was a Hiroshima Study Abroad ambassador, where we took part in like a photo shoot / event related to modeling kimono. So it was like 20 international students that were all dressed up and made up and looking fancy in Japanese traditional wear, kind of like waddling through the park. So that was awesome. I don't know. I need to figure out whatever became of that photo shoot. Like, I don't know, 2 years later, I'm like, wait a minute. I did a photo shoot at this park. But it was in the spring, the cherry blossoms were in full bloom. So I highly recommend visiting in the spring if possible, It's a beautiful part that's well maintained. Again, that's one thing that Japan does well. I feel like every major city, even not so major cities, they do such a great job of maintaining green spaces. And Shukeien Park is highly recommended. It's got this like Kokoyo Bridge, which is like a very what do you call it? Photogenic spot where you can go to take photos. There's a bunch of stores and places within the area that will allow you to also rent kimono if that's a thing you want to do. I feel like if I'd ever go back, especially with friends or celebrating a special occasions or occasion or something, maybe we could also do it with our families. Tic Tac, let's talk about that off podcast. But yeah, I feel like that's something like a group kimono garden shot. Like while I was dressed up, I was like imagining if it was like again like the 1700s. There were no power lines. It's just like a nice little oasis within the city. And was imagining what it would be like 300, 400 years ago to be standing in this spot at this time, because again, this park existed then. You know what I mean? So yeah,
That's perfect.
I'll also drop the Google link for this place in the show notes. Again, it's 50 minutes walk from Hiroshima Station, and also close to the Hiroshima Peace Park. So again, everything is just like right there when it comes to Hiroshima City.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but if I had to choose between, and I know I don't even have this place on my list, but I would rather go to this garden than go to Hiroshima Castle. I don't know if you feel the
That is
same or
not a
not,
hot
but,
take. That is
and I
not
love
a hot
castles,
take.
but I think this garden is that nice where if you could only fit in one of them, if you were struggling, be like, oh, should I do this garden or I should go to the castle? My recommendation would be the garden. I don't know if what yours would
Exactly.
be.
Yeah, I don't want to say negative things because I love Hiroshima, but Hiroshima Castle was easily the my least favorite castle of the more than a dozen castles I have visited all over Japan. I am a hardcore castle visitor, even more so than shrines and temples, right? So I've visited so many castles, and Hiroshima Castle and the gardens surrounding it and stuff was just so underwhelming. So I agree, not to throw shade at Hiroshima Castle, but I think it's also closing because of like earthquake stuff, but I don't want to get off on a tangent. But yeah, Shukeien
Shukeien,
Garden
yeah, Shukeien.
is definitely a better place to visit than Hiroshima Castle's garden area, and it's just awesome for photos. Just go there expecting beautiful scenery and group photos, family photos. It's just every angle, the river, the bridge, the bamboo trees. There are just like so many spots that you can go. I recommend going in the early morning. Again, my photographer side is coming out when the light is great and the crowds are not as thick yet. And I don't think it's open very late. I need to double check that, but I think it closes at like 5 or 6 p.m. So yeah, get there at like 8 or 9 a.m. when it's just opened, and it should be a better experience because as the day goes on, as with most things, it gets crowded, especially on public holidays and the weekend.
Yeah, I think it closes at 6 and it's only a few dollars to get in. And like you said, the pictures are great. Like I took my wife and son there the last time we were there. And yeah, so many good pictures we got. And even some of the people that were there noticed, of course, that we were together as a family. So they would ask us if we wanted pictures together. So people would stand away and take some pictures of our entire family it within the garden. So yeah, we have some lovely pictures from this garden. So it's yeah, it was
Yeah.
just so nice. Yeah, loved
I
it.
also ran into a lot of artists who were like drawing stuff. I feel like the only place I've seen so many artists as a at a garden was in Kyoto, where there were like a bunch of art students and like retired people and like a whole group from like a painting club, like set up there, just like painting the scenery and just like, it's just like very artsy and natural and I don't usually go for this type of stuff. I'm probably the least artistic person that has ever lived. But I could feel like I felt like I don't maybe it was the traditional clothes I was wearing. But I was like, oh, I feel aristocratic. I feel sophisticated. I feel artsy. Let's go. Let's draw stuff and play with the flowers and stuff.
Next time you go, bring a canvas and bring some paints. Do it up.
And pretend like I'm painting, and no one better look at my painting because it would be just
Yeah.
look like goop.
Stick. Just stick people.
But yeah, that's awesome.
That's a good one.
What's your number three spot? Or not? We're not counting, but what's your next spot you want to share with us?
Yeah, my next spot is more on the looking back fondly places.
Yeah.
When we went to come and visit you the last time, so our second visit to Hiroshima City, went while you were in the area. We went to a place called Kure Potopia Park,
Oh,
and it was
yes, I
out.
remember that.
Yes, so it's outside of the city. It's kind of like, I guess maybe halfway-ish between Hiroshima City and Kure City, and
Yeah.
we just took the train there. I think it's the Kure line.
Yes, yes,
To
yes,
this
yes, yes,
particular
yes.
stop. I think
I
maybe
think
you
it's
recommended it to us, or did you just randomly find it on the map? We were kind of just looking for a place close to the
Yeah.
water and
We
somewhat
were looking
semi out of
for
the
yeah.
city.
We were looking to escape the city for a bit and for a place for Kai to be able to run around freely.
Yes,
And we
that's
just
right.
like searched for a park and it was also closish to my university, at least closer than the city. So we're like, hey, I know Kure. And it's like there's like a military port there and stuff. So I was like, yeah, let's do that park. And it turned out to be awesome. Like a really awesome time was had.
Yeah, it was a nice train ride there and back, like not too far, not too close, just enough to have like a nice train experience, which Kai really,
Yeah.
really loved. And then yeah, like you said, it was a good place to let your kids run around. They had what, an old streetcar there that we got some pictures in too. So that was really
Yes.
fun. And then just so happened while we were there, because it was on the weekend, there was like they had like a stage for plays and they were having a live performance that we got to watch. I can't remember what the play was. I don't think it was, I want to say Momotaro, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't Momotaro. I'm not familiar enough with what was being displayed to us at the time to remember exactly. But it was just cool to see like a live play. We were able to catch that for a bit, and just I remember it being quite hot that day. And we walked to the closest conbini. Was it Family Mart? Maybe got some food from Family Mart.
Yeah, that was such an epic day. I have some awesome pictures. I'm looking at you and Kai now going down the slides and Kai on the tram car, and it was just yeah, the weather was also perfect that day,
Yeah,
I feel.
they had like a pirate ship park or something that the kids could all play in with like the rolly slides, like the rolling pin slides. And then yeah, big green space for kids to run around. So there was lots of families there that day. So for those with families looking for a place to take their kids on a weekend that might kind of end up seeing some live plays or other activities that they might be running on any particular weekend, this location was easy because there's a train stop right across the road. I would say there's not a lot in terms of food, so if you did need to bring, I would say bring food, or you'd have to walk. I'm just looking. It was a Lawson's that we ended up walking to for some food, so that would
Yeah, I
probably
saw
be your
people
best bet.
doing
But
picnics and stuff, so I feel like
yeah.
planning for a picnic if possible. Or,
Yeah.
like at least some drinks or something to kind of chill under a tree and just kind of enjoy yourselves is a good idea.
Yeah. And to wrap up our time there when we were waiting for our train, this is the first time that Kai ever had ice cream because of someone.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can still see Mindy's piercing gaze upon my face. I was like, God damn. I'm sorry, Mindy.
She still remembers that was the first day that Kai ever had ice cream.
I stole that opportunity from you, Mindy. I'm sorry.
I remember the look on her face was hilarious. So just good memories was this location. So I just wanted to bring it up on my list just because of the fond memories. And it was nice weather and there was all some trains and some performances and just whatever else. Yeah. So yeah, I would
and
say
sometimes
if you're looking for a family place to go on a weekend, this could fit the bill.
Yeah, and sometimes, at least in my experience reading about, you know, recommended places and things to do, I feel like oftentimes they forget about people with young kids or families or stuff, you know? So adding places like this in that might not appeal to most people, but for, you know, someone like you, Aaron, or me traveling with a kid, it's sometimes it's unbelievable how useful a park with attractions can be with a fussy toddler, where you can just let them off the leash, so to speak, and have them gallivant across the grass just to burn some energy off. Otherwise, they're going to implode sitting on trains and sitting on buses and sitting in cars and having to kind of stay steady. For us as adults, it's fine, but for them it's torture almost.
Exactly. So it was a good recommendation from that perspective. And yeah, the park was great, and Kai was a little bit too young at that time to really engage with kids just because he was only just over one, but had, you know, you go back a little bit when they're older and now the kids can start interacting with each other. Now they make some friends at the park just temporarily. And so it's a perfect place for families to go. And it was more like a local spot too. It wasn't touristy. It was just where people that live in the area go on a weekend, 'cause that's just where you go. So it was really nice from that perspective too. There was enough people, but it wasn't crowded or obnoxious in any particular way. It was just nice. So
yeah,
good find by Uncle.
Yeah. Yes. So speaking of good finds, and I was talking about castles and temples and stuff, I want to talk about Miyajima, the famous island just off the coast of mainland Japan / Hiroshima, which is technically part of Hiroshima, that has a couple awesome attractions on there that I have been to a couple times. Of course, I love collecting Goshuin. So the Itsukushima Shrine, or Miyajima Shrine as it's usually called, is a very famous, well-known shrine, a lot of nice photos can be had there at different times of the day. Amazing place to visit. Just walking through is an experience. And as a Goshuin collector, I definitely wanted to get that Goshuin stamp, or temple stamp, or shrine stamp. And I had been there a couple of times before, but that was before I started collecting the Goshuin. So I managed to go there again while I was, this time I was a Hiroshima Peace Ambassador. I did so many things in my 2 years in Hiroshima. So we had like a overnight trip to Miyajima, where we stayed at the Daishoin Temple, which was also another awesome experience and highly recommended. And to get to the Daishoin Temple was easy enough, walking from the Miyajima port. But then we took the Miyajima ropeway all the way up to the top of, I forget the name of that mountain. Is it just Miyajima Mountain? I don't think it's Miyajima Mountain. But there is a mountain that apparently a monk took fire up to, or got fire from, however many hundreds of years ago. And that is Mount Misen. Yes, now I remember. Mount Misen hike was also fun. So yeah, there was the ropeway, the Daishoin Temple and Itsukima Shrine, and there are many other things to see and do on Miyajima. There are some very inquisitive deer also on Miyajima that in my mind are not as docile as the ones in Kyoto. Sorry, in Nara. I swear these deer in Miyajima are like, give me all that you have. Where are them crackers? Like, come on. You got something on you. I was like, no, I don't. It's like, give me us. Like, I felt like I was being held. I don't know.
You're held hostage.
For crackers. I had to literally hold my hand up to get one of the people who was selling the thingies to come over to me and buy one so that I could give to this deer that he would leave me alone. You know what I mean? But still fun. Awesome experience. Again, a nice family spot. It's literally a, I don't know, 5 minute, if that long, 10 minute ferry ride from mainland Japan to get to Miyajima. And it's a huge island with lots of walking, hiking, temples, shrines, guest houses. It's just, there's a lot to do. That's another day or two, possibly, if you ever visit Hiroshima. Have you ever been to Miyajima, Aaron?
Yeah, I went the very first time we went to Hiroshima a long time ago. And I remember, I guess depending on the season that you're going or like the day too, if you want to see when the tide comes in and out because of the the way that the shrine is set up being
the
kind
Torii
of
gates,
out in the
yeah.
water a little bit. I think you want to get there really early, right? And then stay to see the water get closer and closer. Is that it?
Yeah, so I think it depends on the time of year, but when I was there really early, the tide was really low, so you could walk all the way out to the Torii gate that's out in the like ocean, literally. But, and then in the evening, the water comes all the way up to the Torii gate and all the way into the shrine. So the shrine itself is built on stilts. So there'd be times when you can literally walk around the grounds of the shrine fine, but then another time you might come at a different season or time of day or year, however tides work, I'm sorry, I don't know, where the shrine itself is underwater. Not underwater, but there's water all over the courtyard and stuff, which is quite interesting, I feel. So I've seen both versions, and I have photos of myself, and those Torii gates, by the way, in pictures look very small, but in real life they are huge.
I feel like
at least 10 stories. I don't know, if I in my mind it felt like they were like 10 stories high and you were like a ant standing next to them. They are huge. I don't know where they got those trees to make those Torii gates, but yeah, ginormous.
I was gonna ask you too about the, I didn't do the Miyajima ropeway while I was there. Was how was the view like when you got to the top? And was there much else? Like, was it just hiking to do from the top when you got up there, or is it kind of limited in what you can do?
So the ropeway was awesome. There were awesome views. Full disclosure, I don't like high places, and usually I don't do like ropeways and stuff because I'm just not good with height. But I think because I was in the ropeway car was kind of crowded and there were people laughing and chatting, I felt like it was fine. But it was awesome experience to go up the ropeway. It's not a very long ropeway, but it's very scenic. Once you get off the ropeway, there's some hiking left to do to go to Mount Misen. And there are like the, what do you call it? What was the name of the temple? The Daishoin Temple. The main buildings are like closer to the base. But as you go up, there's like another part to the Daishoin Temple. That's where the monk got the fire, however many hundred years ago. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering this story. I should have paid more attention. But closer to the top of the mountain, there's another like temple complex that you can chill and rest and get water and, you know, pray and, you know, get blessed and stuff. And then there's another maybe 30, 40 minute hike to the very top. And at the top, there's like a rest area. There's like a viewing area where you can stand on a building and like see the whole Seto Inland Sea and parts of Hiroshima. Like very nice views. I have some photos somewhere that I need to edit or make use of. Maybe I can find a blog post that I did on my blog that I can share in the show notes. But I think it's an easy enough hike. I've hiked Mount Fuji and I've hiked smaller mountains, but that one was one of the easier ones, I feel. You don't need to rush. You don't need to worry. It's not like very steep. There are no parts where you have to go down on all fours and stuff. It's just a nice, easy pace. Bring some water. You know, I feel like there were like elementary school kids doing it with us as well. So it would probably take 2 hours, as much as 4 hours, depending on the pace, but it's not like intense hiking. It's just like walking slightly upward for 2 hours. And yeah, there's like a ropeway car and different scenic things that you can do along the way. So yeah, I recommend a Mount Misen hike.
That's sweet. Well, yeah, I wish I would have thought about where I can't remember. I don't even think I knew about that at the time, so I'm kind of sad that I didn't know and missed out on that, because the hike seems fun and all, and being up there and seeing all the different shrines, and kind of, even though it's not like hidden or anything, it feels kind of like discovering something for the first time when it's on a mountain and you're surrounded by trees and rocks and stuff. Yeah. It feels kind of like mysterious in a way when you're up there. So yeah.
Yeah. Kai should really, be old really enough. Cool. Kai should be old enough next time. We can take him. He'll probably be hiking faster than us.
Oh, definitely. Like, Kai, he'd be running.
Yeah. I think he can manage. And we could do it. We could do it. We could probably do another Hiroshima trip. I have no qualms about that. All right, so that was the Miyajima Daishoin Temple, Miyajima Ropeway, Itsukima Shrine. What's your last spot that you recommend visiting in Hiroshima?
Yeah, last spot for me, and this is, I don't know, maybe an odd one or just not like too normal of a thing to do, but one of the things I enjoy just doing anywhere I go, whether I'm at home, where I live, or other places that I go, if there's movies out that I like watching, or I want to see, then I will like to go to, I like to see the movie theater experience in different countries. Every country culture has a different kind of like norms and customs on how the movie theater operates and what people do and what the opening commercials are like. So when I'm in Japan, I like to engage in their movie theater viewing culture. I think it's really nice, and I think it's a little bit more pricey, but it is a very nice experience. It's clean, it's very well organized, everyone's respectful. And so while I was in Hiroshima last time, it must have been Godzilla Minus One was still playing in theaters in Japan, and I had seen it a few times before that trip back home.
Yeah, he's watched that Godzilla movie like 20 times, guys, full disclosure.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One is so good. So I was just looking at movie theaters in Hiroshima while I was there, because I was like, if Godzilla Minus One is still playing, I'd like to go watch it again in Japan. Why not? And so I came across a movie theater called Hachoza, which is kind of like a throwback movie theater experience, but it's like not throwback in the way that it's been neglected and dirty and grungy. No. It's like a throwback, but everything is pristine and made to feel like new again and proper. So it was a very like legitimate experience, but kind of like turn back the clock a little bit to make you feel like you were in a movie theater, like, I don't know, years in and years 80s. Ago.
Yeah. It's funny because I independently had been going to that same movie theater for the reasons that Aaron just described while I lived in Hiroshima. There were a bunch of other types of theaters that I've been to, but when I went to Hachoza, I forget what I watched there. But I was really impressed by what you just described, the experience. So it's like it's throwing back to a time when going to the movie theater was like an experience. You know what I mean? Like the seats are not your typical seats, they're wide, and it's just the theater grounds itself, the building itself inside. It's just like it feels like, you know, I'm going to the movies. This is exciting versus, you know, going to modern movie theaters now, everything is just very samey, and everything is just has been all the character of buildings and seats and food and displays have just been devoid of any creativity. But Hachosa was just like a movie going experience. A little bit more pricey, I feel, than going to a regular movie theater, but definitely worth it if you are a movie aficionado.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I was a little bit confused on like where it was, because it's like kind of in a mall. So it's like, and I can't remember what floor it is on the mall that it's in. So
I think it's the eighth
I
floor,
oh,
to be
it's on
fair.
the eighth floor? Oh,
Where the
duh.
hatch I think that's where the
That
hatchie
makes
comes from.
sense. So I eventually found it. But yeah, if you're looking for a nice, proper, good movie theater experience, like if you're like a cinephile and you like being in like a nice comfy seats, they have a different few seating options too. And the seats are more like almost kind of like a personal chair, like with like proper like backing, and it's comfortable, like a mini couch. I guess you could say
Like a
it's not
mini
like a
couch
regular
slash
movie theater
sofa.
seat. So,
Yeah, they don't fold down or anything. It's like a big couch, a mini
yeah.
couch, very cushiony and big cup holders, and I feel like two normal size adults could fit next to each other on one of those chairs. I felt like when I sat down, the seat just swallowed me up, and it was very comfortable, a lot of space. It didn't feel cramped and stuffed in like what I feel like now when I go to other movie theaters.
So if you want to catch a film in Hiroshima, whether it's because there's a Japanese film that's playing now that you wanted to watch, or there's some other Hollywood film or whatever independent film that just so happens to be there, yeah, go check out that theater. Well worth your time. So yeah,
Nice.
that's highly recommend. Little nugget of a cinema that I would like to share with you. What's
Nice, nice.
your last one, Kirk?
Okay, my last one is actually the cycling road, the Shimanami Kaido cycling road, which
Ooh.
I feel like after the Peace Park is probably one of the other major attractions where many, at least active people, would go to Hiroshima. The Shimanami Kaido is like a cycling route between Hiroshima and Ehime that goes across the Seto Inland Sea. If you're watching the episode now on YouTube, I actually have like clips of the of my first time doing the Shimanami Kaido running in the background, and it's like between, what do you call it, Onomichi in Hiroshima and I forget the city in Imabari City in Ehime, and it's across a number of islands. Some people, fit people, crazy people, can do it in one day, but I feel
Ooh.
like doing it in 2 days would be better to kind of go at a slower pace and enjoy the scenery and make stops and buy ice cream and just taking the sights and sounds versus just cycling as fast as you can through the mountains to get to the other end. So I've actually did it not once, not twice, but 3 times, and I would definitely do it again.
Whoa, it's that good, eh?
Yeah, the first time I did it, it was raining half the time, so I really didn't have a great experience because of the weather. But for friends and stuff, it was awesome. So I also recommend doing it with a group if possible. Not a big group, but a group of maybe 4 or 5 would be great. And I did it when it was like March or February or something, so it was really cold, and I was just like, oh, this is miserable. But I enjoyed it enough to go back again. I think like next time I did it was in the fall. The weather was beautiful. It was an amazing experience. It was just so memorable. And then when I moved to Hiroshima, one of my friends from Tokyo was visiting Hiroshima and they wanted to do it and they brought friends. So a group of us did it again. And that was an amazing experience. I think that was more May, June. It was hot as redacted. But that was
I
also a great experience.
wonder.
Yeah. So I recommend the Shimanami Kaido. It's an amazing experience. It's cycling for 70 plus kilometers across amazing, like the Inland Sea, Seto Inland Sea, beautiful views, beautiful bridges. There you can stay at like hostels along the path at different different spots on the different islands that you go across, depending on how much you want to get done in a day. I think one of the times we did it, we also kind of rented a car and we had like four people cycling and one person riding and we just like switch out people. So if you're not as fit, just like me, and want help going up those hills, like you can also plan it that way where you have a rental car and yeah, as people f get tired, you switch it out to somebody else and someone else drives. And yeah, the experience at the hostel was also amazing. You kind of feel the rural grassroots Japan experience versus staying at a, big brand hotel. You know what I mean? And it's just so, I don't know, like nature loving, adventure loving. People would really enjoy the Shimanami Kaido. And if you have any questions about the Shimanami Kaido hostels, how to do it, what to do it, when's the best time to do it, etc., please feel free to send us a message at hello@bonbonshow.com and I'll definitely reach out to get you some more information.
Yeah, that sounds like a
Yeah.
awesome time. A way to like see things at a slower pace, go just and being able to go on that many bridges and see the water and see like the nature from a different perspective rather than just driving through it. 'Cause when you're driving, especially when you're driving, you get to see stuff, but you're not paying attention as much as say a passenger. And even a passenger, everything's just zooming right by. Whereas on a bike, like you said, you could go through it one day if you're that fast. But if you're doing it in 2 days, you can slow down a little bit, take your time, stop, just soak it
Yes.
all in a little bit more. So that sounds just like a fantastic experience. One quick thing that I wanted to ask about it, just because I'm curious and maybe some other people will be curious. I'm assuming it's all set up so that you can choose to go start at Imabari or Onomichi, and then like a company would have like a start and an end at either point, so you can rent the bike in one and then just hand it off at the end, and you don't have to worry about anything. I'm assuming that's all like
Exactly.
just organized that way for you, right? You don't have to like, all right, I'm gonna start an Imabari and then I gotta drop it back at Imabari, like, right? Of course,
No,
you
no,
wouldn't
no,
have to
no,
do
no.
that, so
Yeah, that's
yeah.
one of the things I love about it as well. It's so organized. There are, I don't know, hundreds of bikes at a comp. Well, I've only done it from towards Imabari. So
Okay.
why am I not remembering the name of this city? I've only done it from Onomichi towards
Oh, okay.
Imabari. So from Hiroshima to Ehime. I prefer that route. Maybe it's just from my experience. But yeah, you can get the bike at Onomichi City. You ride across all the islands, park the bike overnight at where you're staying at the hostel, and then when you get to Ehime in Imabari City, there's a spot that you can drop off the bikes at, no extra charge or anything. Again,
Okay, that's
hundreds
sweet.
of people do it daily, and there are markings on the road that gives you the path that you can take. Of course, there are like multiple paths depending on your fitness level. I've only just taken the regular path because I'm not about climbing mountains and stuff. And but there are electric bikes if you are so inclined. I've only ever done it with regular cycling bikes, but if you're don't want to stress about it and want to just cruise, you can pay a little extra to get electric bikes. And yeah, slow pace, enjoy the views. Maybe I'll drag you along when I'm doing it for a fourth time. Tic tac.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Let's do it. Let's do
if
it.
If they have like child seats as well for like toddlers or like bike carriers that you can kind of
definitely
carry or pull behind. I think for the electric bike, maybe they have something like that too.
Yeah, cool. I think I've seen people with the electric bikes with kids strapped in with in their little helmets. So I feel like an electric bike could definitely work for you and Kai to enjoy the Shimaname Kaido.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things to see and do as we kind of went through Hiroshima during this podcast. There's lots to see and do in the city itself. And if your trip is only accommodates like a city hangout in Hiroshima, you'll enjoy lots. But if you want to venture outside the city, you can make your way to Kure. You can go to Onomichi for some biking if you wish. And then
Miyajima.
We also have Miyajima. And then there's the rest of the prefecture too, which we didn't even touch upon. there's Hiroshima is a lovely place, a lot of good history, a lot of meaningful history, and then just a lot of adventure to be had with some amazing food that we only just sprinkled in there a little bit, but there's a lot of other stuff that's like okonomiyaki is really famous.
Oh, we didn't even touch on okonomiyaki.
Hiroshima has its own unique style. Lots to explore and find things, your own secret fun spots on your own adventure. These were just some of the things that, you know, we found and really enjoyed. So we'd be, you know, look forward to you engaging in those if those are appealing to you. And if you come across anything else that you would love to share with us, we would also love to hear your stories of what you find enjoyable within the prefecture of Hiroshima. Is there anything else you'd like to kind of end it off with today, Kirk?
Yeah, I think you've done a good job, Sir Aaron. Again, just reminding the listeners, you can contact us by email at hello@bonbonshow.com, or you can actually send us voice note at voicemail.bonbonshow.com.
Yes.
Looking forward to hearing from you, and looking forward to you guys continuing to listen to the Bon Bon Show. Thank you so much. This has been episode 24 of the Bon Bon Show. This is Kirk signing out. Take us out, Aaron.
Thanks for the support, everyone. Looking forward to more to come. Stay tuned, and wherever you are, whenever you are listening, have a great day. Matane.
Bye-bye.